A few years ago, a survey was taken across the U.S. asking pastors what they felt was the most important or the greatest need in the life of the church. And interestingly enough, out of the 5,000 pastors that responded, 98% of them listed as number one or number two on their list, get lay people involved in the work of ministry. Now, why did they say that? Were they a bunch of lazy people? Was it because they weren't invested in ministry themselves? Were they not good pastors? Hardly. In fact, quite the opposite is true. In our scripture lesson this morning from Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells us what our, as pastors' main responsibility is to the congregations we serve. Look again with me at verse 11. And he gave that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. According to the Apostle Paul, my primary job as your pastor is to equip you for the work of ministry. Now, why is that? Look again at verses 14 through 15. This is what it says. So we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, is with each part working properly, promotes to body's growth in building itself up in love. Now, what Paul's saying here is that the moment pastors understand that we are to equip you for the work of ministry, and the moment that you begin doing the work of the ministry, there will be maturity in the body. There will be edification in the church, and there will be growth in the body of Christ. Once I, as your pastor, understand that, and that it is my job to do that, to equip you. That's why the title to this morning's message is, Let the Pastor Move Over. See, until the pastor equips the congregation to do the work of ministry and moves out of the way to let them do it, the church will never be what the church should be. The responsibility of the pastor is to equip the congregation to do the work of ministry. That's my job, and it's the rest of our pastor's job as well. Now, the word equip is a very interesting word. In fact, the first time we find this word in the New Testament in the Greek is in the story of the calling of Peter, James, John, and Andrew as Jesus' disciples. You'll remember that they were what? What did they do for a living? They were fishermen, yeah. And Jesus came one day and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's right, fishers of people. Now, the Bible says that these four guys were, when Jesus came up, they were mending their nets. And what's really interesting is this word for mending in the Greek is the very same word that Paul uses in verse 12 when he says that we are to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So, with that as a background, I would like to talk about this word, equipping, which is mending, and how that relates to what we do as pastors to equip you to do the work of ministry. Three pictures that we're going to come to mind as I share that we're going to show up on the screen. First, I want you to think about that work of mending. It's a continual process, isn't it? I mean, every day after fishing, they bring in their nets and they look at them, and of course, the fish in the haul have torn the nets and they need mending again. So the work of mending is never done. And equipping people is that same thing too. It is never over. It is never done. There's never a time when everyone is fully equipped. There's never a time when we can look at this and say, oh, it's all done. It's all complete. I've arrived. None of us. Now, I once heard about an ex-pastor who became a funeral director. Now, I don't know if there's a relationship between the two jobs. Maybe there is. But anyway, someone asked this guy, why did you leave the pastorate and become a funeral director? He said, well, it's really quite simple. The pastoring, well, that was a mess. I remember a woman named April, and I tried to get her to dry out and stop drinking alcohol. And he said, I worked with her for a year, and she just went right back to it. It was a mess. And then Joe, I tried to straighten out his marriage, and I worked with him for 2 years, and it is still a bad marriage. In fact, I just got so frustrated, I quit and became a funeral director, because I tell you, here, when I straighten them out, they stay straight. I'm here to tell you right now, when it comes to mending nets, they never stay mended. They always are going to be under repair. And it's a fact of life that when you equip people, the work is never done. It is a continual process. So that's the first thing I want you to remember, that equipping and mending is a continual process. The second picture I have about equipping and mending is that it is for a purpose. It is for the purpose of work. Mending nets is for the purpose of work. Mended nets are not just to be put up for display. I mean, as soon as they mend the nets, what do the fishermen do? They go fishing again, right? They get ready, and they're ready to go. Why? Because they have the equipment they need to do their work. Now, when you and I come to church, basically there are three reasons that we come, and they all start with the letter P. One is for prayer and praise, and we've already been doing some of that this morning. The second is for personal growth, to grow in our walk with Christ personally. But there's also another part to why we come to worship in the morning, and that is to pass it on, right? We come to take what we've learned and apply it to our lives as we go out and pass it on to others. Now, until all three of those dimensions are really operating in our lives, then we've only focused on ourselves rather than on Christ. In other words, when all you and I do is come here and sit in the pew and receive, what happens? We get fat. We get flabby. We get spiritually unfit, wobbling around, waiting for Jesus to come back, ready to die of spiritual heart failure. But when you and I receive and then we give, we become faithful. We become spiritually fit. And that's our goal, to be able to receive and then to give, to pass it on. So, how do we pass on to others what we've received? Well, I'm going to give you an acrostic here, so be thinking about the word pass. The letter P stands for people. Who isn't here who needs to be here? I want you to think about that right now. Who that you know isn't here who really needs to be here? You know, there are people in your life who need the Lord, and they need to find the Lord in this wonderful place and in this wonderful community that is abundantly loving and graceful and accepting. Who are you inviting? That's P for people. The letter A stands for action. When will I pass this on? When am I going to take that action step, take what I have learned to intentionally pass it on to others? The first S in the letter pass stands for share. What will I share about my personal experience in my life with Christ? You know, there's something to be said about saying what Christ means to me. And then the last S is for show. How will I back it up with how I live my life? Is my life an example? Do I demonstrate by the way that I live my relationship with God through Jesus Christ? How do I pass it on? People, action, sharing, and showing. John Maxwell says this about equipping people. He says, it is for the purpose of work. He says, the best way I can explain it is this. Coming to church is like getting in a huddle in a football game. We're here to call the play when we come to worship. We're here to get the strategy. We're here to know how to go out and do the work of the Lord. But in so many churches, he says, they just call the huddle. That's all they ever do. When they're done, they go out and they wait for another huddle. They don't have a plan. They don't have a strategy. They don't have a goal. All they want to do on Sunday mornings is come for a holy huddle. They hold hands and they sing kumbaya and they have the guitar play and they light the fire, roast a few marshmallows, maybe have some s'mores, ask each other how they're doing, check the spiritual pulse, just kind of feel good for a little bit and then go on about their daily lives. But that is not what the life of discipleship is about. No, you mend those nets so that you get to go to work. You equip people to go to work. We come to church so that we can learn something and then go out and do something about it. Second picture. The third picture I have of this equipping and mending is that it is an extension. It is an extension of the equipper's work. I mean, when those fishers are mending their nets, they know that the nets are going to be able to extend their success, right? Those nets will go to places that they can't go, and they're going to get the fish that the fishers can't get from by themselves. It's an extension of their work. Why are we as pastors to equip the saints, which is you guys, by the way? We are to equip the saints so that they can be an extension of Christ's ministry. Different people with different backgrounds, using different gifts in different times, in different places to meet different needs, all for the glory of God. You see, in way too many churches, the pastor does way too much. Have you ever seen the guy in the circus with the sticks and the plates? Y'all seen that? Yeah. So they get the sticks moving, and then they put the first plate on, and then they go to the second one, and they put that one on, and it keeps on going down the row. But you know what happens when you get down to the end of the row, right? That first plate is about to fall off. And so what do? They've got it timed just right. So the person runs down and starts the plate going again, you know, and they have to keep moving that stick, and the poor guy seems to sweat himself to death. A lot of pastors are just like that. They're all the time just going around, and they've got to touch everything just to make it move. And if they're not there, it doesn't go. And what happens? It begins to fall apart. And everybody says, where's the pastor? Go get the pastor. And when the pastor shows up, everybody says, oh, thank God, there's the pastor. Thank God, I can go and I can do it again. Wears me out just to think about it. No, we are to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. But unfortunately, that's not happening in most churches. And there's a reason for that. In fact, according to John Maxwell, there are 10 reasons why pastors don't equip people to do the work of ministry. Now, I hesitate to tell you these reasons because I'm telling on myself and probably Pastor Diana and Pastor Ed and every other pastor that is in our country. So I'm just going to whisper these to you. Just whisper these to you so you'll know them, but please don't hold them against us, okay? Are we ready? The first reason that we fail to equip the saints is because pastors lack training in doing that. Many of us have never been trained to equip people to do the work of ministry. Now, I have had a lot of education. If you count all my years in college and in seminary and beyond, I have done 12 years of graduate work, pre and postgraduate work. But I'm here to tell you, in all of those years, I never had a class on how to equip people to do the work of ministry. Not one. So one of the reasons that people don't equip laity to do ministry, though that's what we have been told and we're supposed to do biblically, is because we don't have a clue. We're not trained to do it. The second reason pastors don't equip laity is because pastors aren't expected to equip the laity. And I would say this one probably should be number one. Usually it's not the expectation of the congregation for the pastor to equip them. In fact, usually the expectation of the congregation is for the pastor to do the work of the ministry, right? The average lay people says, that's what we pay him or her for. Where's the pastor? We pay her for that. That's not, I mean, she's the one who's collecting the salary. Even though it's not biblical, that's what the average congregation expects. The third reason why pastors fail to equip lay people for the work of ministry is because, this one hurts, it's because we receive ego satisfaction from being needed. And as much as I hate to admit it, we pastors do have an ego. We do. What I'm saying is there's something fulfilling to the ego about people needing us. And for some pastors, their whole meaning and worth and fulfillment in life is when folks need them. But you know what I'm learning about leading people? If you need people, you won't lead them. One of the reasons pastors don't let lay people do ministry is because they get too many strokes. And that cripples both the pastor and the congregation. Fourth, equipping people is hard work. It is hard work. Many, many times it's just easier to do it yourself. I think it was Longfellow who once said, if you travel by yourself and you rise up and early and walk, but if you travel with somebody else, you must wait for them. And that's the whole equipping process. Fifth, pastors feel that lay people are inadequate. I'm sorry. It happens. Sometimes we don't equip lay people because we think they just can't do the job. After all, you folks haven't been to seminary. You folks don't know Greek. You certainly can't help people. But that's not true. Lay people can be powerful servants of God. Listen to me. The strength of Florence Christian Church is not coming to hear me or any of our other pastors preach. The strength of this church is what you do with what you hear after you leave to go out into the name, out into the world in the name of Jesus and minister to others. The greatness of this church is not what it takes in. The greatness of this church is what it takes out. Now, not only do pastors sometimes think lay people are inadequate, the sixth reason pastors don't do the equipping that we should is because lay people feel inadequate. Lay people sometimes say, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I have the gifts. I don't think I have the abilities. Well, the fact of the matter is that you have been given gifts by God, and it is your responsibility to discover them and to be equipped to use them. So this fall, keep your eyes open. There will be a spiritual gifts class that I'll be offering, and we can work on that together. Seventh, pastors are in the habit of doing everything. Now, I know some pastors who do just about all the ministries of the church. They do everything. And they're in the habit of doing it, and they won't release their ministry to the members of the congregation because of control, right? Habits are hard to break, but this one has to be broken if the church is to grow and thrive. Eight, one of the reasons that we don't release ministry to the congregation is because we can't find anyone to do the work. But you know what? If we can't find anybody to do the work of ministry, that isn't a lay people problem. It's a leadership problem. Leadership is influence. It is about having the vision, God's vision for the church, and setting that bar high and believing in people and inspiring them to use their gifts for the glory of God. Ninth, pastors are insecure. Sometimes lay people are not equipped because pastors are just afraid. Listen to this. I hate to tell y'all this. They are afraid that their lay people will outshine them. And what if that happens? Well, I'm here to tell you the truth. From my perspective, the happiest day of my life will be when you don't need me anymore. Happiest day. Because it will be then basically that I have done what God has told me to do. Equip the church for the purpose of ministry. See, the greatness of this church isn't going to be when I or anyone else is the pastor of this congregation. The greatness of Florence Christian Church will be as people not only join the church, but they join in the work of ministry for the glory of God. And finally, pastors don't equip people for ministry because they don't understand it's our responsibility. They don't get that it's their job to do this. Friends, I want us as a congregation to be where every single person discovers and uses their gifts for the glory of God. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, that's not your fault. It's more likely my fault. And I haven't done a good enough job of letting you know that God has gifted you and equipping you to do that ministry. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are today, we're going to help you to discover this year. We're going to be very, very intentional about that. This fall, I will be offering a new spiritual gifts class for every member and friend of this congregation who has yet to take it. And once you discover what your gifts are, my commitment to you and our other pastors' commitments to you is that we are going to do what we can to equip you to use those gifts and then get out of the way so that you can do your ministry to the glory of God. Now, I got to say this in closing. I don't think that this congregation is not doing the work of ministry. In fact, I think you're wonderful. But I think we have a long way to go to be the great church God wants us to be. So we've got to keep moving. We've got to keep setting that bar higher. And I'm so excited today that almost 30 of you are coming for a training event, a greeter training event, to learn how we can be those people who can radically welcome newcomers in the name of Jesus. That's a good, great first step. But I just want you to know how much I appreciate you, but also to encourage you to grow and continue to become who God is calling you to be. Because as the title of the sermon says, the pastor has to move over so that you all can be who God calls you to be for the glory of God. And the people of God said, amen.